This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You heard of this thing, the 8-minute abs?
Yeah, sure, 8-minute abs. Yeah, the exercise video.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, this is going to blow that right out of the water. Listen to this. 7-minute abs.
Live from the YouTube machine, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and it's National Women's Equality Day. Today, we're celebrating a woman who has no equal, at least, you know, in her ability to turn household items into clothing, from the Afford Anything podcast, Paula Pant. Then we have two men. Ugh, who cares? What? I have to introduce them? All right, fine. Today, we welcome a bastion of equality, OG. And from LenPenzo.com, it's Betty Friedan. She's out enjoying some of the equality she went on strike for. It's just another Menzo, our very own Len Penzo. See what I did there, man? So what's today's topic? We're diving into expectations versus the reality of retirement. One popular retirement author shares opinions, and we'll throw in ours. So what's your retirement dream? Let's clarify it. You have your own happily ever after. And speaking of happy, I am thrilled to bring you another unequaled trivia. And now, a guy who no woman would stoop so low as to be equal to, it's Joe Salcihi.
Happy Friday, everybody. I am Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And Doug, nice job. That was way better than what you kept doing in the table read. Congratulations for making
it. I always nail it live.
For making it through the script. We got a fantastic day today, as you heard. We're talking retirement. Even if you're a long way away from retirement, you know what? Planning for what you're going to do and how it makes sense, how it doesn't, a big part of living the dream, but I get to live the dream today because I'm with these four fantastic people. We already heard from Mr. Doug. So let's say hi to my co-host here at Stacky Benjamin's headquarters, AKA Mom's Basement, Mr. OG. How are you, man?
Living the dream, baby.
It is a fantastic day in August. And another guy who's here, Mr. Len Penzo here.
I will tell you what, it is a freaking hot day in August. You know how hot it is, Joe?
How hot is it?
It's so hot, I just baked a lasagna in my mailbox.
Oh, but that Penzo lasagna, even mailbox is fat. Does that mean you mailbox mailed lasagna in the recipe? Is that the deal?
No, you mailing can put your stamp on that. Yeah, I put my stamp on it, Joe. It's delicious.
That is good.
Oh. How hot is it over there? What's the temperature?
Let's see. It's currently 97.2 degrees.
FM.
Fahrenheit.
Yes.
Okay.
Did he beat you? Because you were all, when anybody asked that question, no.
Not even close.
You know what? OG's
beat in which direction? Much lower? You know, yes.
OG's been nailing the trivia so much, I should just ask him how hot it is outside.
That's right.
He'd have got the answer right.
That's true. We're going to see if 3 weeks in a row, if he can get the trivia exactly right. But the woman who has the answer to all the trivia, which is the biggest trivia question of all, when is her last week for the next few months? And it's this week. Mm-hmm. Paula Pant is here.
It is heartbreakingly, unfortunately, my last week for the next 10 months. So 10 months.
Our Nielsen ratings are about to crater.
Well, I will miss you so much, and I will miss everyone here so much. Well, won't miss you, but you know, I'll miss this audience.
Am I bleeding, OG? Wow. I just got tagged, man.
Wow. Well, today with Paula retiring, how about that, huh? We're talking retirement.
A sabbatical.
Yes, we're going to have some fun with that. But first, before all that, OG, you know what I was thinking about the other day?
No, what were you thinking about?
This episode sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. It's Military Appreciation Month, and I want to share appreciation for one of our stackers I met in Cleveland for the second time. Keith just drove his car off the road. But Keith, a proud military member, I enjoyed seeing Keith. And you know what? Eric was there too, who was in the Marines. But both of these fine gentlemen served our country that I met in Cleveland. I want to give a shout out to them. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just Keith and Eric, but all their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. They offer 24/7 help from their U.S.-based member service centers. They offer resources like Best Cities After Service to help veterans transition to civilian life and Best Careers for Military Spouses to support our military families. All branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families are eligible for Navy Federal membership. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate this month, and you'll see all of our Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Isn't it amazing? I was thinking about our sponsors. Isn't that incredible? We've got OG here. We've got Len. We've got Paula. We got Doug. Let's get today's party started. Today's piece comes to us from the popular blog, Physician on Fire. And it's a guest post, though, from our friend Fritz from Retirement Manifesto. When Fritz first retired, he came on the show and actually told us all about that process. And believe it or not, he's now been retired for 4 years. It does not seem like 4 years ago since he did, but he's got this piece talking about what he expected from retirement and what he didn't expect, how retirement's the same, how it's different now that he's 4 years in. And I thought this is important because retirement is not about just math. It's about what happens during those years. And OG, 4 years in, is this a good time for an introspection? Is it too early? Is it too late? Like, when can you start looking back and going, okay, there's some trends. Some of these are what I expected. Some are not the same.
Yeah, probably 4 years is fine. You know, certainly within a year or two, and anybody that retired 4 years ago was kind of right in the earlier parts of COVID and all that sort of stuff. So that didn't really look kind of the way they probably figured it would. But there's so much that gets built up, you know, about retirement early on. And all the stuff that I'm going to do, and here's all the projects I need to complete and all the travel I need to get done. And, you know, you start checking off all the things that are on your list, that it probably doesn't make sense to look at it from a, certainly not from a financial standpoint, the first 6 months or a year. But I feel like after you've, you know, done anything for a couple of years, you kind of get your rhythm down and your, in your pattern of whether it's spending or time allotment or whatever it looks like.
Len, you're much earlier on into your retirement journey, but are you finding like week to week evaluating it, or is it starting to settle down at all?
No, it's so early for me still that it's, there's no way I'm even going to begin to try to evaluate it. I mean, it's just, I will say this, it's as good as I hoped it would be, but I mean, it's way too early for me to evaluate like Fritz can after 4 years.
There's a natural progression people go through, Len. And part of it, actually, when you talk to these retirement experts and longevity experts, is this euphoria, right? I don't have to go to the office every day. But then there's this second phase that hits, which is, what's the rest of my life mean? Have you started to feel this second phase yet?
You know what? I am not even close to that. As a matter of fact, right now I have so much on my plate that I don't have enough time in retirement to do everything I want to do. But again, I'm early on. But I mean, frankly, I hope I never get to that point where I run out of things to do, because, you know, I can't imagine being in retirement and not knowing what to do.
Before our break at the halfway point for our famous trivia segment, I want to focus on what Fritz said that he didn't expect, because I think there's a lot of lessons here for everybody that's either planning retirement or in retirement. Paul, I want to send this first one your way, because he didn't expect that he would have a second home, right? He wasn't going to purchase another home, didn't want one. In fact, he had a second home that he decided to sell because they didn't want to manage it from far away. However, his daughter and son-in-law moved just 5 hours away from where he lived. So all of a sudden they had this opportunity and decided to buy a house in that area that they could have. It seems like what he's talking about here, he didn't expect the curveballs, right? Like, he didn't expect the fact that life immediately was going to, I mean, that's a big purchase right in retirement.
Yeah, that is a huge purchase. But what I hear in his story is that he values family. He wanted to be closer to his granddaughter, right? Not just his daughter and son-in-law, but also like baby granddaughter. And because of that value of family combined with like flexibility in his budget, he was able to buy that second home. Not all retirees can do that. You know, there are other retirees who are on a much tighter budget, or who are right now kind of shocked by the fact that they weren't anticipating this kind of inflation rate. So I think his story goes to show just how varied retiree experiences can be, depending on how much wiggle room there is in your retirement budget and portfolio.
But when you and I have been answering questions on Afford Anything, often the Afford Anything community is interested in optimization. And you and I feel like all the time are talking about how, and Fritz is a case in point here, if he had all his pennies locked away, he wouldn't be able to go buy this house.
Right, exactly. As we talk about on Afford Anything all the time, there's that trade-off between flexibility and optimization. And sometimes in order to keep your money in a more flexible style of account, you trade off a little bit of optimization, you trade off some tax advantage. But the benefit that you get from that is that you're able to tap your money when you want to.
Len, he calls this an asset allocation decision rather than expense. Do you see a second house in another city as an expense or part of his asset, part of your asset allocation if you're going to do it?
I totally agree with him. I mean, it's not like he's buying something that depreciates 50% when you drive it off the lot. You know, it's another home. And he's even said he's going to sell it when his daughter, I think it was his daughter, plans on moving. And I expect that even if the market turns down sharply or relatively sharply, you know, he's not going to lose the bulk of that investment or that purchase. So it was a smart idea, because he will get most of that money back, I would suspect.
Yeah, but yet, OG, if he doesn't turn it into an income producing property, I mean, it just sits there. And what if you don't produce any income? Doesn't it just go up with inflation? Which I guess means he's getting 10% return.
Score. Winner, winner. Yeah, I mean, obviously, primary house, you don't really want to think about it as an investment, right? Because that's where you've got to live. But a secondary house, you can consider it an investment. And I like how he uses this as an asset allocation. And that's in his mind anyway. It's not an expense. There's some incremental expense, like you mentions about taxes and upkeep and that sort of thing. but can obviously cover that pretty easily. When you have that flexibility, like Paula was talking about, there's no requirement to sell it day one. You know, kid gets transferred again. You don't have to like, oh, I got to sell this thing right now. Yeah. I can turn it into a rental, or I can maybe I, you know, he said it's in Southern Alabama. Maybe it's on the Gulf Coast. It's like, well, this is nice. Now I got a Gulf Coast house and a mountain house. You know, maybe I'll just keep it. You know, there's a lot of flexibility there.
Well, if he's open to putting renters into it, having it close to a base, I mean, how great is that? That seems like a rental house dream.
Well, you think, yeah.
Sticking with you though, OG, for a second, do you think that having, you know, a rental house is not cheap, even to the down payment, putting that kind of money into a non-liquid asset, any problems with that?
Well, I think that it all depends on the overall percentage of your investment. I mean, if you've got $1 million and you're going to go take $1 million and go put it on a vacation house on the beach, you know, that's going to be kind of tough, but it's all relative to the, you know, net worth of your liquid net worth, as it were.
The second thing he talks about that he didn't expect was that he would be on a board of directors. Now we're not all going to be on a board of directors when we get to retirement. So I want to widen that a little bit, Len. And I'd like to ask you about this one, because as I think about this, consulting, right? Bringing in some extra money. He was just retired. He gets a call from his old boss and finds out that, hey, they want him to keep working, to keep doing some stuff. My dad, in fact, does some of this. Are you thinking about maybe doing some consulting now that you're retired?
Well, that's, you know, hey, I'm open to that if need be. I have let my previous employer know that, you know, if they need me, they can call me. I like what he's got. The board of directors thing is fantastic. You meet four times a year for what? For an 8-hour meeting, and you go over, you know, I mean, that's sweet. And those are usually some sweet paying gigs too that's really good. But any kind of income that you can get in retirement, that's less you have to draw down from your nest egg that you have saved up for all those years. So it is important if you can get some cushy side hustle or whatever. I mean, that is absolutely something I think you should aspire to. I don't think I would have thought twice, like Fritz, if somebody asked me to do that, be a board of directors.
You've been like, yes.
That'll never happen for me. But yeah, oh, I'd be all over that. Yep.
Could you imagine the big, huge company you worked for, multinational company, yeah. Mr. Penzo?
Yeah, because I know what that company, I know what those board of directors get for their
several hundred K a year plus
more that, than several hundred. Yes, it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Paula, this idea about working in retirement on one hand, you've got retirement on another. Fritz is going back to work a few times a year. That doesn't sound congruent.
Well, it's only four times a year, so it's not an undue burden on his lifestyle. It sounds as though he really had to change nothing about his day-to-day or even week-to-week schedule. And so it's kind of nice. It's a way to stay in the game, stay current, maintain social ties, bring in some decent income. And, you know, quarterly, I mean, you can do just about anything quarterly.
I would think, OG, like now with the financial markets being the way they are, the economy being the way it is, like being able to have this small income stream can really do wonders for like your retirement projection.
Well, I mean, Len said this, for every dollar that you don't have to put into or take out of your investment accounts, that's a dollar that stays there. Plus, that's a dollar that keeps on growing. So it's a pretty big impact of if you want to retire early and you can say, well, I'm going to go make 20 grand working at Home Depot. You know, how much is that $20,000 in terms of assets you need to have or don't have? And, you know, this is $400,000 or $500,000 of money that you don't have to have in your bank. This is the same thing as paying your mortgage off. You know, we've talked about that a bunch of times of, you know, again, that optimization of like, well, I should have low interest debt and, you know, invest the difference and all that sort of nonsense. But if you have a house payment, you know, then you have to have money to pay the house payment with. And quite often that could be several hundred thousand dollars that you don't have to accumulate prior to retirement if you don't have that expenditure. So you kind of flip that around and say, instead, if I can make 15 grand or 20 grand or, you know, like Len's doing, a couple hundred grand.
Yeah. sure.
Can can go a long ways.
The next thing that Fritz in this piece said that he didn't expect was co-running a charity. He actually now runs a 501c3 charity. And Len, I love this idea that Fritz is talking about, is he didn't expect to be so involved in the community. Like, that just seems, I don't know, just life affirming and what retirement's all about.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I think he mentioned in there that it's been taking more of his time than he expected, but it's fulfilling. And boy, it's something I want to do too. That actually has kind of inspired me to start something up sooner rather than later as well. I mean, boy, talk about giving your later years some purpose and something that will always keep you busy, and you can apply as much of your time as you wish. Fantastic. And I think it's a fantastic idea.
Paula, I want to transition this a little bit for younger people that may see themselves a long way away from retirement. You are saying mm-hmm. bye-bye to the show. It seems mm-hmm. like for you, like waiting for retirement for these sabbaticals, like that's too late.
So the reason that I'm taking a 10-month hiatus from the show is because I'm going into a one-year fellowship, a business journalism fellowship.
Thank God.
At Columbia University.
It's not the restraining order. That's so good.
I know, right? Exactly. Exactly. Well, at least that's not the overt reason.
Philip says you can do everything quarterly, but not everything quarterly.
Exactly.
Pretty good.
So I'm doing a one-year business journalism fellowship at Columbia University, and it's basically a chance for me to hit pause on the things that I normally do year over year. You know, I've been part of the Stacking Benjamins Roundtable for 10 years now, and it's wonderful, but it's a chance once in a decade to hit pause, take time out, and then spend 10 months deeply immersed in learning.
There are easier ways to take a hiatus from this show, Paula. I mean, you can get hit by a car.
You know what? I was confused.
You could have like a pancreatic operation you need.
Yeah, last week you mentioned going to Columbia, or Joe did, mm-hmm. said, oh, Paul's going to Columbia. And I was thinking you were going to South America. And I was like, what? Too. They don't have, I was like, they don't, what? They don't have
the same time zone and everything.
Columbia.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? What's going on?
Yes, I get that a lot. Apparently moving to South America is completely on brand and in character. So
yes.
I'm not surprised that people thought that like that meant I was relocating to Medellin.
And then she starts talking about taking the subway. I'm like, I didn't know they had a subway. I went all the way there. That's amazing.
Exactly.
When it comes to his last thing here, he talks about building a workshop, and I feel OG. To Paula's point, like just following your curiosity here is a cool thing about retirement, having this time to do what the heck he wants, when he wants.
I've heard a lot of people who do like the year of yes or something like that, where you just try to accept everything that you can accept just to see what you enjoy. I was listening to a comedian talk about improv, and something that I hadn't ever heard of before, but it makes a ton of sense, is in improv, you have to say yes and. Like that's just, you have to, otherwise, you know, the whole bit collapses, right? So you have to just do that and something different. I just thought that would be a real interesting way to kind of go through, you know, a period of time of be like, you know, yeah, of course I'll do that. Yeah, of course I'll do that. Like just try to say yes to a lot of things and see what happens.
And what's funny is it sounds easy. I mean, both things sound easy. It sounds like having a year of yes is easy, but it actually is so hard. And doing that improv thing, I did that at a conference recently, took an improv course at a conference, and it was hard to keep it going. I mean, no matter what somebody said, you had to say yes. And it was not as easy as you thought it was. Hey, I want to ask all of you guys, this was the really big one. You'd think about somebody who's going from a dynamic income where they can make more money to largely a fixed income, right? And he says that he doesn't think much about money. Does that surprise you, Len? That somebody, I don't know if you know Fritz at all, but just somebody who's a money blogger for the past 4 years. Yeah, I don't think that much about money. Now that it's a fixed asset, the economy might be in a recession. My stocks have gone down a bunch. I don't think about it.
You know, if you're financially secure when you retire and you've done your homework and gamed everything 8 ways to 7. What's the saying? 7 ways, 6 ways to Sunday. You know, I agree. I don't think Sunday. 8 ways to Sunday.
Nine and three quarter ways.
Well, whatever it is, you know, I can see that that would kind of make sense. Especially when you've got a side hustle too, that where you got money coming in, even less reason to have to worry about money. So I mean, that makes perfect sense to me.
Paula, his quote exactly is, do yourself a favor, spend quality time before you retire, making sure you have a sound plan. Your retirement years will be enjoyable as a result. You're not going on into retirement, but you are doing this sabbatical. You sound retirement plan, going to think about money the next 10 months?
Well, I think there's a sweet spot to how much a person thinks about money, and that changes depending on the season of life that you're in. And so when you're working, you're thinking about money accumulation. And in retirement, you're thinking money preservation. And they're two separate headspaces. They're just like distinct and shouldn't be conflated. So it might be the case that he does think about money, but given the disparity in the ways in which he thinks about money, he doesn't realize that he's as cognizant of money as he is.
The... Oh, gee, I don't know. Is what's going on?
I'm just watching Doug throwing him back. I don't know what he's doing.
We do this live on YouTube for people wondering on the audio podcast. What the heck's going on? I'm sitting here listening to Paula. And
it's Paula's fault.
Yes. And watching Doug. If you want to hang out with us, we're doing this one more time live, which is going to be the last Monday in August. This coming Monday, we're going to be here live 5 p.m. Eastern. Come join us. It will be there probably a few minutes after. OG, do yourself a favor, spend quality time before you retire, making sure you have a sound plan. Your retirement years will be more enjoyable as a result. That's kind of shocking to you, isn't it? Mr. Financial Planner, is that weird?
Weird.
It's just
weird.
Absolutely strange.
All the years prior to it, I mean, retirement planning is one of these things that I think that you need to be working on a very, very, very long time. And it doesn't mean that you work on a lot of the time, but a lot of the time, because, you know, when you're 20 or something, you don't need to be worried about what your spending plan is going to look like when you're 60. It's hard to kind of fathom what that looks like, but you can do the smart things like live below your means or invest in your 401k and work to increase that to the maximum, or put money in a Roth and build those good habits. And then as you get closer and things become clearer and clearer, you can kind of fine tune it and then make sure that you're kind of trending toward the right thing. Last thing that you want to do is show up in somebody's office like mine 3 years before retirement. And somebody says, oh, geez, you should have done this 10 years ago. You're way off course. You know, you need to have a big change. It doesn't mean, you know, that's unsavable, so to speak. It's just going to change your plan if you know, so start thinking about it, you know, in your 30s and your 40s, and you'll be much better off by the time you get to Fritz's mid 50s age here.
And this is, by the way, the reason why this topic, even though it's about during retirement years, is fantastic if you're in your 20s, 30s, or early 40s to even hear. Hey, it is that time. We are now at the halfway point of today's show. And that means it's time for our weekly competition that lasts a whole calendar year. Paula Pant's about to hand off the baton, by the way. And Paula, a nice job of shepherding the baton so far this year, because Paula has 6.5 points. And Paula, you had to work very hard for those 6.5 trivia points.
The untethered burden. Geez, I'm trying to come up with the words to describe the enormity of
the task, the enormity of effort that the person who's going to fill in for you has to try to climb the mountain that you've created. Because Paula has 6.5 points. She tied once with OG. Len has 10 points. OG is pulling away with 13.5. But the bigger news today is the last two sessions in a row, OG has nailed it. And because he's in first place, he's got to guess first. We're going to see if he can extend that to 3 times in a row. Can he nail it?
Before you go any further though, Joe, Paula, before you go, can I have your picks for the rest of the, you know, for the next 10 months?
Oh, you mean you want me to front load all of my guesses?
I just want your pick and mine. So I'll have two picks.
Yeah, he wants he wants a double answer every week.
Then I can sandwich myself.
Yeah, he's got
that was Doug's nickname in college.
True story. We've got one person who asked the question, though, to see if OG can nail it. Paula can maybe have a big win on her last day here, or if Len can make this close. Here we go. Let's see.
I am the one who knocks, Joe.
It is you.
Hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. For Women's Equality Day, let's talk about a woman who knew her worth way back in the day when men were men and men treated women like an afterthought when it came to financial matters. Hetty Green. She was the daughter of two wealthy families and even asked for a prenup way back in 1867. You go, girl! But with her Quaker upbringing, she was notoriously stingy. Notoriously stingy. She refused to pay for hot water. She wore the same dress until it started coming apart and used her sister's Netflix account. When she died in 1916, she was considered the richest woman in the world. So my question is, in 1916 dollars, how much was her fortune worth? I'll be back with the answer after I go find out why Joe's HBO Max account suddenly isn't working. Probably
didn't pay the bill again. How much more time we have on the sharing? Netflix has already said this gig might be up very soon. So we'll see what happens. I feel like we're kind of in that Napster time, don't you, Len? Where, you know, we can kind of share with everybody our accounts. Maybe that's...
I totally forgot about Napster. My goodness.
Maybe that's going away. Paula has no idea what Napster is. She's taking a nap on Napster.
I recall Napster. I simply didn't partake.
Did not partake. Oh, that's good.
It's okay, inhale. Paula. They won't come after you.
Yes. She tried the Napster. She didn't inhale the Napster, right? Doug just got it. Yes, that's it. I looked at the Napster, but I did not download any songs. Is that what that is? Yes.
High alert.
Yeah. Yeah, we're commenting on Louise's old guy alert. We got the old guy stories now coming in. Remember Napster? Hey, so we're going to start with Mr. OG. Hetty Green. How much money did she have?
So you guys thought that I would get this on the button?
Yes.
Doug did.
I don't even know who it is.
He threw in the $1916 dollars, so that helps.
We just told you who it was.
But I don't know who it is. Am I meant to know who it is?
Yeah.
I mean,
you didn't listen.
Oh, you don't need to know who it is. Richest woman in the world, 1916. I mean, anybody can just put some logic together in their head and nail this.
Okay. This was a big ruse. I see now. I'm getting it. All right. Richest woman who died in 1916. So 100 years. Inflation. She was really rich. So.
At least use some logic out loud.
$65 million.
$65 million.
Okay, just to be clear, that's in $1916.
Yes, $1916. Yes. Correct.
Okay, yeah, $65 million.
Mr. Penzo, 65 million reasons. That's right or not?
It's got to be more than that. But how much more? I'll go with $100 million.
$100 million, Paula Pant. You got 100 million reasons why that's not right.
I
come on,
embrace this
one more time.
I embrace this. I know. I embrace this as an invitation to decide who I'm going to Chelsea Brennan. And
you basically have three choices.
I'm going to take the under. So I'm going 64.9 million.
See, but you disappoint me because you historically spend all day going, so I have three choices. It can be below 65 million. It could be between 65 million or 100 million.
Or it could be above 100 million. Exactly. Those are the three choices at hand. And if I were to go between 65 million to 100 million, I could either Chelsea Brennan on you know, close to one side, or I could take the average and occupy as much of the middle zone as possible. So it really becomes a strategy question of essentially what's that, five choices.
But Len thinks she has more money. You think she has less than what
OG
said.
I think that adjusting for inflation and also adjusting for the fact that the richest person or persons are richer today than they were even in inflation adjusted dollars than they were a century ago. I think that in 1916 dollars, she had less than 65 million.
Well, I absolutely love your guesses. We got them all locked in. We'd love to tell you who the winner is, but Doug, you're going to have to wait a second because I got a story to tell you. You know this. You know this thing I was thinking about just today.
I do know the thing, but you go ahead and share it with everybody else. But I do know what you were thinking about today. Yeah, go ahead.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Stackers, becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union lets you experience more. From everyday commutes to your next big vacation, the flagship credit card earns you 3 times the points on travel so you can get rewarded for wherever you're headed next. Plus, this premium travel card has a low annual fee of $49, and the 2 times the points on all purchases outside of travel means the rewards don't have to end even when the vacation does. I love scoring points as long as you're paying off your credit card every month. And you know what? Navy Federal has lots of tools at the Navy Federal website to help you make sure that you've got that budget intact and that you've got a strategy when it comes to using your cards. And then the fantastic flagship credit card with 3 times the points on travel and 2 times on everything else outside of travel. Speaking of rewards, man, reward yourself with a smoother car purchase process. Unfortunately, we can't help you with that car dealer, but we can help you with the auto loan process if you can't pay cash. Applying's easy. You can do it all on their mobile app, online, or by phone at Navy Federal, and it's so fast, you'll get a decision in seconds. Navy Federal has great rates on auto loans, plus, you know, you're negotiating with the dealer on that price or negotiating with a person who's selling that car on price. With their car buying service powered by TrueCar, you'll be able to shop easier, compare and get upfront pricing on your next new or used car so you can fit it into the budget. Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, open to the armed forces, the DOD, veterans, and their families. Flagship rates are variable and range between 10.74% and 18% APR based on creditworthiness. ATM fees for cash advances are up to $1 at non-Navy Federal ATMs. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Message and data rates may apply. Visit NavyFederal.org for more information and to apply. Those were all the things. Weren't those interesting? Wasn't that amazing?
I mean,
yes.
It was just like a cacophony of ideas coming from your brain into my brain all day long.
Incredible.
That was one of them.
Yes. Or a couple, depending, you know, could have been. Who knows? But we do know this. We know that OG kicked this off at $65 million. OG, feeling confident there?
Well, I wasn't going to walk through my math on it, but like Len said. So I just started at a billion and went down by what I think inflation kind of doubles every 25 years or so. And you know, ended up with kind of that 65 range. So
Len Penzo, I think that as a Menzo Len Penzo, as we said at the opening of today's show, being a man, you're more optimistic about how much money she has than the woman on the show, Paula.
Well, I guess that's true. We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm looking at the look on your face. You don't look confident.
Well, you know what? I'm just baffled by, you know, Paula goes through all these machinations of her strategies, but her strategy has been not very successful up to this point. So maybe you should pick your strategies, Paula, and then do the opposite. That's what I
would. Like the inverse benchmark?
Yes.
It's the Costanza theorem.
Yes.
Exactly. What is the Costanza theorem? I mean, certainly it's a reference to George Costanza from Seinfeld.
Right. I mean, there were entire episodes of him just, and one in particular of him just doing the, he's such a failure in life. He finally realized I just need to do the opposite of whatever I would normally do. And suddenly he's dating the hottest woman, you know, he's ever dated, and he's got this great job and his parents don't bother him anymore.
Well, speaking of, let's not bother you anymore with messing around. Let's give you the trivia answer. Here we go, Doug.
Stackers, I'm login collector and adrift spendthrift, Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Hetty Green had to start reading the financial pages of the newspaper to her father and grandfather at the age of 6 because they had poor eyesight. She opened her first bank account at 8 and became a bookkeeper at 15. According to Investopedia, she was known to use salty language, carry a gun, and travel great distances alone, all considered scandalous conduct for a woman, a true Joe's mom of her time. For all her incredible accomplishments, the nickname she was given by the investor community, they called her the Witch of Wall Street, because living in the world as a woman has always been just great. So, how much was her fortune worth at her death? Well, today it would be worth $2.7 billion, which means Mr. Menzo is our winner because it was worth $100 million. I knew somebody was going to nail it.
Did I hit it on the button?
Today.
Three times in a row, somebody nails it on the button. Mr. Menzo grabs it. Nice job, Len.
Well, that's awesome because I had no clue. You know, OG, he set the bar there. I just had to pick a number and I did 100.
And kicked it through the uprights. Nice job.
I take solace in the fact that no matter what strategy I might have used,
it was going nowhere, Paula.
I had no chance because Len had already nailed it.
Yeah, it was just going nowhere.
But, Paula was on a dry run there. I mean, it was like 7.5 minutes with no $12 words, and then she pulls out solace. So ready to get back on the horse.
$12 words. No, there were definitely a handful of others.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. We were in I'm trying to remember what they were.
Monosyllabic words.
I could tell Doug was starting to shake, and then you finally came through. So it's fantastic. Well, that narrows the lead at the top. So, OG, not quite as far ahead, and we will see next week exactly where this goes. But for now, time to get into the second half. Second half of our discussion today is brought to you by Magnify Money. Len, you know what happens when you go to stack? Well, wait a minute. What am I doing? Paula Pant, it's your last time here.
Yes.
You know what happens when you go to stackyourbenjamins.com/magnify money?
You find out that the products that you encounter at your brick and mortar are nowhere near the best in class.
Nowhere near. stackyourbenjamins.com/magnify money.
Why do you ask the boring people that question, Joe?
What do you mean the boring people?
She gave you the straight answer. That is not what that setup is all about.
We can do a retake.
Paula, what else do you get there? Do you get those gross shakes you like?
You discover that macaroni and cheese can be made into any assortment of edible candies, snacks, desserts, drinks. You discover a variety of use cases for your favorite childhood foods.
Drew even hanging out here with us is disappointed, Paula. All the things you choose to say actually aren't you supposed to say. You can't do that. It's your last time. You got plenty
when
of
she comes, things. You know what? When she comes back from Columbia, she will have that. She will have that lesson learned and she'll nail it.
She'll have it down. No, but when she comes back, she'll be all Columbia'd. She'll know like good journalism. And so she's going to leave us in the dust. Yes. Very sad, but we have her for half of a show here still. So let's jump on this. The first half of our discussion, of course, was all the things that Fritz, who's been retired 4 years, the things that he surprised him. And it surprised him that he would do some consulting work. It surprised him that he would buy a second home when he thought that he wouldn't. It surprised him also that he would co-run a charity and build a workshop. And also, and probably most of all, that he doesn't think about money as much as he thought that he would. But the things that he had to look forward to that he really, really is still excited about, joy of free time. And Len, you mentioned this in the first half, your lack of free time, like general lack of free time. He says he doesn't have a ton of like like sit around time, but he gets to be at the steering wheel now.
Yeah. The calendar is still full, but you decide what's on that calendar rather than your bosses or whoever else. So, I mean, and that is huge. I mean, it's awesome.
But is there ever worry, OG, about that calendar getting empty and it kind of slips away? Cause it feel like for some people, man, they get into retirement a little bit and they atrophy.
You talking about like atrophy, like from a mental standpoint?
Yeah, I'm talking about because physically, they have free time, they just do nothing.
Well, I mean, it's more of a you problem, I suppose, than a retirement problem. You know, if that's what you think that retirement is going to look like, is sitting around and doing nothing, you won't have very much time to do that. Because, you know, I mean, you have to have energy. You have to move around. You have to exercise and eat correctly and, you know, have a reason for getting out of bed. Because if you don't, pretty soon you just go, why am I even here?
But don't you think that this is a problem with people that retire from something? Like, I feel like when I talk to some people, especially when they're thinking about early retirement, they're early retiring because they hate working at place X. It's not about so much what's on the other side. It's about they want to get out of this thing they're doing.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's a problem in and of itself on, I think, a couple of fronts. Firstly, why are you continuing to do the thing that you hate to do and not go do something else? And if you don't have the freedom to do that, you better find something that you do like to do because, you know, I mean, I've seen plenty of people who do the sail off into the sunset and sit on the rocking chair every day and watch the sun go across the sky. And they don't have a lot of tomorrows. It's just, yeah, it gets boring pretty quickly.
Which brings up another thing that he expected, Paula, which was exercising his mind. Again, I think this is a super important thing, like continue to exercise your mind.
Absolutely. Maintaining your curiosity and learning for the sake of learning is critical at all stages of life, but particularly in retirement when, you know, the onus of learning really rests upon you. You know, speaking with total candor, like there are many people who, when they are not forced to learn, choose not to. And, you know, while it's not my place to judge, it's simply unhealthy. So yeah, exercising your mind and exercising your body are critical at all stages of life and particularly critical when that outside enforcement is no longer there.
I love the fact that he set this up and that he thought about it ahead of time, right? This is what he expected. And I don't hear that very much. People saying in retirement, I'm going to exercise my mind. Len, I know that you were thinking about that, spending even more time at your blog, but also you've got that kick-ass train you're working on.
Yeah, I got that. I got, you know what? I want to improve my golf game. I want to learn another language. I want to do some charity stuff. Even if now I'm thinking of actually starting up a charity like Fritz has done. That's kind of given me some good, you know, inspiration. I mean, there's just a lot of things. I think and before you retire, I think you have to have all this at least mapped out, you know, before you quit. You just can't quit and stop and expect to hang out. I mean, have a good, effective retirement because there's only so much golfing you can do, right? I mean, you're going to get or sitting on the beach. You've got to be busy. You've got to have stuff to do. I mean, life is just, even at my old age, I still got hopefully a lot of years left, right? There's a lot of things to do and you can get bored quickly.
Well, you think about, Len, very seriously, the young age you retired at. I mean, you could have a time in retirement that's as long as your career was or longer.
Yes. I mean, that is so true. And you've got to be busy and you've got to, and you know what? It does help to be inquisitive and want to learn. I mean, you have to, if you're that type that's always wants to learn and learn new things. And I mean, I don't think it's going to be much of a problem in retirement, but I know there's a lot of people that they just want to go out and they want to quit work and they want to go sit on the beach and sun themselves all day or whatever they do. You know, that's going to get old. It really is. You've got to have some goals. You've got to have some aspirations to do something to better others or better yourself or, you know, in your later years.
Doug, you've been doing the one he talks about next, which is exercising. Today with what, 16 ounce weights?
With my, yes, with my left hand and 16 ounce weights.
It's incredible, but very seriously, I know that you've got, because you are financially independent. I mean, you're working on doing exercise every day, correct?
Stuff. Yeah, I'm exercising. I'm out walking probably 3 to 5 miles a day through the woods, fighting off deer flies and tracking down my dogs. I'm kayaking. I'm I'm doing all kinds of exercising.
Paula, his next thing that he looked forward to was pursuing curiosity. You and I have had this discussion. People talk about follow your passion. Fritz is not on his passion. He's about curiosity in retirement. And I think, you know, this discussion Len and I were just having about living longer. I feel like you're going to live longer if you pursue this curiosity thing.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, part of pursuing curiosity is the development and acquisition of new skills. So, you know, he talks about some of the woodworking skills that he has. But for lots of people, retirement or a sabbatical is an opportunity to pursue novel interests that you never had the capacity to pursue when you were burdened by a heavy workload.
The big thing in here, again, OG, here at the end of the things that he expected, right? He doesn't talk about money. He doesn't talk about money at all. It's a retirement manifesto, it's a money blog. Doesn't expect to think about money.
Because he did a good job of planning all the way up to that point. And a lifetime of good planning is not going to be undone by a few years of market, you know, uncertainty or a few dollars extra spending, you know, over budget on different things. You know, it's not going to be blown up because of a few, you know, a few wobbles in the plan. He may not think about it as much, but that's probably because he's got good systems in place and when he does check in on it, he checks on it, you know, and knows what he's looking for. You know, like he's a board member, he knows what financials he's going to look at. He knows what performance characteristics that he needs to look for, you know, when he's reviewing those things. He probably has the same thing for his personal status.
It's a great piece. We'll link to it in our show notes page at stackybenjamins.com. Thanks to Fritz for writing it and Physician on Fire for printing it. Some good stuff here. Speaking of good stuff, let's find out what's happening where all of you are. We're going to have our guest of honor, our contributor of honor, go last today. So, Mr. OG, what's going on with you this fine weekend?
It's the fall. Fall is fun time for OG and family. So
what?
Fall. August is fall.
It's fall.
Okay.
It's fall. Deal.
Can't imagine why you questioned that.
Do you know how you can tell it's fall in
what is it like
in Texas? It's only 96 degrees. That's why.
Yes. Oh, it's the only cold front 96. Came through. Big cold front coming through.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be in the 80s.
Which makes it only 96, so you're good. Yeah, there it is. Mr. Penzo, what's happening at LenPenzo.com?
At LenPenzo.com, we go over some money mirages. What they are, basically, are mistakes people make in the name of saving a few bucks. So they'll think they'll do something, they think they're saving money, but in reality, it usually doesn't save the money at all. So
can you give us one of those? Give us one of those. Just a little taste.
Sure. Okay. Here's a little taste. And since it's a taste in response, going to a restaurant and ordering the daily special, a lot of people will go, oh, the daily special. Sure. That sounds great. You know, we're having the bass, you know, marinated in a butter sauce, with blah, 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 blah. But they never tell you the price. But a lot of people think that it's a price special. It is not a price. Usually it's not a price
special.
It's a
steak brother issue.
It's one of the most expensive things on the menu usually. So that's the kind of things we're talking about. There's five others I've got. I'm not going to tell you though, Joe.
Yes.
You're going to make people come to LenPenzo.com and check it out for themselves.
Paula Pant thought it was expensive spending time with us. So she's kicking us to the curb. So Paula, what's going to happen at Afford Anything while you're gone?
So on the Afford Anything podcast, everything will continue to run as normal. So in the month of September, as we've always done, we will have what's called the September sabbatical. We've done that every year for the past 3 years, which means in the month of September, you're going to hear some of our best episodes from the archives. Morgan Housel, the investment writer, Rand Fishkin, the founder of Moz.com. You know, they're some of our best archived episodes. So that's in September. And then October, November, December, we have Stanford professor Jeremy Utley talking about the routine habits of breakthrough thinkers, you know, original thinkers. We have Daniel Crosby talking about behavioral finance. We have Laura Vanderkam, a time management expert, talking about tips for instituting practices in your life that can help time management, not at the tactical level, but rather at the strategic level. So all of that is queued up and ready to go for the rest of the year.
So in other words, you have plenty of time for your own podcast.
Exactly. Precisely.
10 months.
I think she has them all queued up and ready to go, which is the, going to be a tough 10 months without you, Paula, but we will try to make it through it.
I will absolutely miss being on this round table. And I look forward to coming back in May of next year, May 2023.
It's funny because we have people in the comments talking about that, about give us the date. So there it is, May of next year. We will see Paula again, but we got a lot of good stuff between now and then that we're going to try to duct tape this thing together without Paula Pant. Speaking of duct tape, I need you to duct tape something for me there, Mr. Doug. Duct tape this. What should we? I don't know how we're getting out of this.
Once again, you want me to save the show?
What
sure thing, Joe?
Should we have learned today?
Like I do three times a week. Let's just put a bow on this. Here's what we should have learned today. First, retirement. Maybe it's different than you think it'll be, but that's okay. Come to your post-working years expecting flexibility and with a ton of hobbies, and you'll be off and running on your new adventure. Second, don't retire from something. Instead, retire to something. Like in Paula's case, writing a thesaurus. But the big lesson... Thanks, Len. But the big lesson, man, all of this stuff about women's inequality, I'm sure glad we finally fixed it. I mean, we got no glass ceiling anymore. We've had a woman president. What's that? We still have work to do? 160 years after Hetty Green? What the hell is taking so long? Hey, amazing Steve Stewart, fix this women's inequality thing in post, would you? Thank you. Thanks to Paula Pant for joining us today. You'll find her podcast, Afford Anything, wherever you're listening to us today. Thanks to Len Penzo for joining us today. You'll find Len at lenpenzo.com. Thanks also to OG for joining us today. Looking for good financial planning help? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/OG for his calendar. Okay, buckle up, folks. Here we go. This show is the property of SB Podcast, LLC, copyright 2022, and is written in part by Paulette Perhatch, who helps writers power their words, their work, and their earning potential with her Powerhouse Writers Coaching Program. Find out more at powerhousewriters.com. Thanks also to our team who made today possible. Brooke Miller juggles the production of this show, handles the show notes, and creates our amazing newsletter to the 201, you know, while raising a one-year-old. Tina Eichenberg and Gertrude Smith are our social media mavens. Not only should you not take advice from these cheese bags, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor.
We don't really have to wait a minute, do we?
We totally. It gets better when you say that. I shouldn't have even answered. Welcome to the after show. I pulled up this list of 10 of the strangest milkshake flavors. You got to hear these because these are just incredible. Have you guys had bacon in your shake? before?
Nope. No. No.
Not yet.
there's a bacon flavored shake at the Southern burger chain Root Burger, the Root Burger chain, where it's called an Elvis Presley, and it has bacon in it. And I thought, I gotta have this thing. It was disgusting. Like, it was so, I don't know, the bacon flakes with vanilla ice cream just didn't do it. But I'll tell you what's even grosser is that my Google in this piece, you know, serves up random ads, and it has an ad for dandruff, like right below the bacon flavored shake. And the top of this dude's head looks exactly like the bacon in the picture above. So not selling much there. How about this one? Buffalo wing milkshakes sound like what Doug wants on a Friday night. It's got celery in it. Buffalo wing milkshake.
Oh my God.
So,
well, that makes it much better.
What else is in there? Is it like buffalo sauce, blue cheese?
It's just what's bad. Crumbs. They don't give you the whole thing, but it looks like there is blue cheese sprinkled on the top. Hmm. And then it's a buffalo flavor. It's like that orangey, you know, that burnt sienna crayon in your pack, 64 pack of crayons when you were a kid. There is a drink, a Japanese beverage shake here that is pancake flavored.
Oh,
stack on top of
that. I can see that being good.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Because I can imagine pancake ice cream.
Pancake flavored milkshake. It can even be warmed up, it says. Hmm. And then behind
the with or without syrup.
I know. Well, it says it that it's sweetened with syrup. So, yeah, okay. So yeah, the syrup's a part of it. I think that mandatory, don't you? It's got to
be. Yeah. And the whipped cream on top and a little strawberry on top. Oh, delicious.
Listen, this is OG's favorite. Behold the cocktail that only the most ardent McDonald's lover would drink because OG not only likes milkshakes, but mixing them with alcohol. It's called the McNuggetini. You take a McDonald's chocolate milkshake, vanilla vodka, and pour it into a barbecue sauce rim martini glass and garnish it with a McNugget right on the edge of the martini.
Some people have more free time than Reigns.
Does that mean you don't like it? Sweet potato milkshake. But anyway, this is a long way to get to. We're here to experience a milkshake. Mm-hmm. And this is why you guys need to be here live with us watching this, because Paula has made us a special milkshake for her last after show.
Absolutely. So in honor of my last after show for the next 10 months, I was dared by some roundtable members who shall remain nameless to create a macaroni and cheese milkshake, which I did. I filmed myself doing it. I'm going to post it on my Instagram. You know, I had to make it prior to the show because, of course, it would just take too much time to try to make it live during the after show. But the ingredients include, of course, macaroni and cheese, a box of Kraft mac and cheese, several scoops of mac and cheese flavored ice cream, which we all know I've got in my freezer.
Who doesn't?
Some milk, some standard regular 2% milk. And then I can top it off. I have these on hand to top it off. Mac and cheese flavored gummy candy. Oh my God. So, as seen on social media, mac and cheese gummy candy. So with all of those, I created a mac and cheese milkshake. Very simple. You just make the mac and cheese and then stick that plus mac and cheese ice cream plus milk in a blender, blend it up. And
you recorded yourself making this.
I did. Yes.
And now we get to record you barfing it up.
You better chug that whole thing, girl.
Yep. So if you, I'll post it on Instagram. If you'll go to my Instagram, you will see me making a mac and cheese milkshake in honor of my final appearance on Stacking Benjamins this calendar year.
Here we go.
Take a deep breath.
Cheers.
So please, anyone else who's drinking, please raise your glass and cheers.
I've got just straight water. Or vodka.
Len, let's see that low ball. Come on. Go, 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 go. Come on. Come on. Oh.
It's good. It's a bit sticky. Aye.
Can you taste the chunks? Like the macaroni chunks?
It's like still a lot of chunks. I might need to blend it a little bit more.
Is it cold?
Oh, yeah. I stuck it in the freezer right after I made it.
What chunks of what? Chunks of cheese?
Chunks of macaroni and cheese.
She actually blended the macaroni pieces.
I blended the mac and cheese with ice cream and milk.
I thought you were just going to do like the cheese flavor mix from the thing.
Oh, no, no. So I got this recipe by...
Well, I'm sure it cost a fortune.
I got the recipe by Googling mac and cheese milkshake, finding a restaurant that serves it, and then watching the YouTube video in which they show how they put it together. And they blend mac and cheese into their milkshake. So I figured I would do the same. So
definitely, here we definitely are. One of those Michelin star restaurants, I'm sure.
Well, I was going to say, did you see the grade card on the window of that restaurant? I wonder what the letter was.
T-minus is not good. It seems like it's passing, but it's really not.
C for cheese. C
for, yes. Very cheesy. And?
And my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. I mean, hell yeah. This is the milkshake of the future. You know what? This combined with a bacon milkshake, I think we're really onto something.
Ugh. Oh, I think I'll do macaroni and cheese milkshake before the bacon one again.
Why not mac and cheese with bacon bits in it?
Oh.
Or hot dog chunks.
Mac and cheese and bacon. Or
if you're going with hot dog chunks, Len, just go with chunks.
Just hey, that was a bachelor's. When I was a bachelor, it was Kraft macaroni and cheese and some Oscar Mayer hot dogs. You just slice up the hot dogs, you throw them in with the Kraft macaroni and cheese, and oh my God, delicious.
And it's deluxe.
Yes, exactly. We wouldn't call it
delicious per se, but it's sustenance.
Something. Wow. Well, this show's over, Stackers, but you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month, and that means that we've got time still for a shout-out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today, I want to give a shout-out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who is in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who is in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam. One served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership, and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible, and I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, Stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers. So many cool things they're doing for veterans. You'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.